Dear fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus, our text for this evening is recorded in a book of the Bible that is named after a woman, which is unusual, especially considering the culture of the Old Testament. It's named after Ruth. And this is the first of a series of three studies upon the Holy Scriptures in which we see how women figure into the promise and the coming of our Savior. And it's true that Ruth, we find out, was a bit of a stranger from a Jewish perspective. And as we consider the words of our text today, we see that it surely foreshadows the fact and repeats the promise that was given to Abraham that Jesus is the one in whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed, including yours and mine. The text is written in Ruth chapter 1 at verse 16. And you've probably heard it at weddings and may very well have figured that this has to do with the relationship between a husband and wife. But surprising to some, Ruth is here addressing her mother-in-law. Now, according to half the comics in America, we're not supposed to get along with our mother-in-law. But in this case, we find that Ruth's devotion shines through. But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you, for where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. We have sung together and echoed with the believers of every generation that longing of believers that Christ would come. And in the hymn we just sang, O Come, Emmanuel, we especially echoed the desire of the believers of the first age of the Old Testament that the Lord Jesus would come, the one who would be named Emmanuel, God with us. Well, he has come. And he's coming again. And we await his coming. Now, it may seem dark in this world. It may seem that it's a long time. And we wonder why he is not here. It may even seem that we've been forgotten or even abandoned. But when the great day, eternal day dawns, then we will see that even in the darkest times of our lives, our Lord nevertheless kept us in the palm of his hand. Now that we have seen the Lord's first coming, we can understand how this works. I'll repeat it again so you can follow me here. We're living in a dark time, awaiting the final dawn of our salvation and the resurrection. And it may seem like we're abandoned, but if we look back at that first coming of Christ and before, in fact, if we look at Ruth and Naomi, we will see that even in that dark time, God was preparing for the coming of his Son. The fact is that those who wrote back then didn't always understand the significance. Like us, they felt that the world was dark and that Christ would never come. So Peter writes in 1 Peter, the first chapter, "The prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories." And he says, even the angels longed to look into these things. And you can imagine a bunch of young people saying, "How come we have to read this story of Ruth? What's this got to do with anything?" Okay, you know, she moved, Naomi moved away, picked up a daughter-in-law, came back. So, who's Ruth? In fact, they might even have said, "She's just a girl. She's of no count." Why is this story here? The story of a widow, a foreigner to Israel, somebody from Moab. Well, we now see how even in their troubles, the Lord preserved and guided those people. Here Ruth is speaking to her mother-in-law, also a widow, when she says these words of our text, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you." And she goes on, "May the Lord do so to me and more if anything but death parts me from you." Well, those words are spoken in faith by Ruth, and they're significant in their own meaning. We could draw a lesson from them that we should love the members of our family. We can draw a lesson from them that God has placed us on this earth to be his instrument of blessing and kindness in the lives of others. We can look at these and see how the grace that Naomi showed to Ruth was shown back to her. That's all interesting. But there's interest also in the fact that she was, did you know this, an ancestress of Jesus. That's something nobody at the time knew. But the Holy Spirit knew. The Holy Spirit caused this to be inspired. The Holy Spirit caused this to be written down. 1,000 years later, Jesus would be born. And my, isn't that interesting? One of his ancestors has a book with her name on it in the Bible. You know, he couldn't, if he were a mere man, have planned that. How would you arrange to have a book written about you 1,000 years ago? So what this shows us is that even at the time that seemed so dark to them, God was working out his plan of sending a Savior. So it was that Ruth was the husband of Boaz, and she was the mother of Obed, and Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse is the father of David, the kingly ancestor of the Christ who would be born and upon his ascension would become the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords after redeeming the world. That Jesse, that was the Jesse that the prophets told about when they said that a root, a sprout, shall come out of Jesse. And his would be an everlasting kingdom, a kingdom that would have no end. So yes, the Holy Spirit knew why he was causing this book to be written and inspired. And when Ezra and Nehemiah and the great synagogue gathered together the books that during the captivity had been kind of spread around, once again, that book of Ruth was included among them all. And even then, they couldn't have known that she was the ancestress of the one who would be the Savior of the world. Jesus was a Jew to redeem the Jews. He said so. He was a Jew to redeem the Jews, the people chosen unto the Old Testament, to carry his promises into the world. But we know also, because of Ruth, that he reckoned his ancestry from this woman of Moab. A people coming from the incestuous relationship between Lot and his older daughter, Ick. A people that was definitely outside the pale. A people that definitely wasn't Jewish. A people that was like us. And this gave emphasis to the promise that was given to Abraham, that in his descendant, not just one, but all the nations of the earth would be blessed. He's the one in whom all the nations of the earth have been blessed. For unto us would be born a Savior. It's been a long time, maybe 3,000 years, since Ruth lived. Little more than that even. She's long dead. And her body has returned to dust, as God says is the case with mortals. But because of the first coming, the first advent of her descendant Jesus, who already here was counted as her redeemer, Ruth now dwells with Abraham, Isaac, and Israel in the kingdom of heaven. And because of the first advent of her ancestor, even though she was a Moabitess, even though she was of another nation, she lives in anticipation of the second advent of Christ, and with it, her resurrection in the flesh. All of this because Jesus, her descendant, was her Savior, the Savior of the Jews, but also of the Africans and the Europeans, of the Slavs and the Native Americans, of the Koreans and the Chinese, and of all nations. And so I can assure you, he is your Savior too. Christ died for all, the scriptures say. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. That sure doesn't leave you out. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So I can therefore with all certainty declare unto you that he is your Redeemer. And in his name I declare unto you the forgiveness of all your sins. Thanks be to God. Amen.